tell you a story about when I was a young pastor. I was full of zeal, I was full of energy, but not terribly full of wisdom. That came over time, and I certainly had no tact. You might think that I haven't learned much, but I was worse. Really, believe me, I was worse when I served in New York in the Bronx. I had a wonderful congregation. Most of my congregation were Caribbean. And when we needed to do a fundraiser one time, I asked a lady who was very gifted in that area to help me out. And she had a wonderful idea that came from the Caribbean culture. It was called Rally Day. And the idea was that groups would go out and earn money for the church and then have a big in-gathering concert and bring all their the fruits of their labor inside. Now, part of that tradition was to have a contest to see how much money each group could raise. My American sensibilities did not like that much. I thought it was tacky. And of course, I told her so. And she said, "But this is my tradition." And so being so culturally sensitive, I said, "You're not in Jamaica anymore. Don't do that." And when she replied that perhaps she shouldn't be on the committee anymore, I then told her how immature that was. Well, I won the battle. She stayed on the committee. We had a lovely rally day. We made a lot of money for the church. We didn't do the contest. We did it the way I wanted it to be done. Now, this woman was on my board. And for 6 months after that, absolutely nothing got done in my church. Because she had told everyone on the board, and these were friends of hers, what a rotten thing the pastor had done to her. So every board member we'd gather around, and they'd all sit like this. And every time I'd come up with something, they wouldn't say, "No, that's a bad idea." They'd just look down. And I'd ask for help, and they looked down. And I realized I was in big trouble, that if I wanted anything to happen in that church, I had to make it right with that woman. I didn't like her much, but I had to make it right. And so after 6 months, I came hat in hand, and we had a talk. And even though I didn't feel like it, I apologized, because I realized I might have won. I might have even been right, but I lost the battle, and no work was getting done. So I can appreciate Euodia and Syntyche, because I've been there. These were two very strong women, and they had worked side by side in the gospel. And these people were fellow workers with Paul. They loved the work, and they had a falling out. Now, I'm sure it was not doctrinal, because if it had been doctrinal, someone would have straightened one of the ladies out. It wasn't doctrinal. I'm sure it wasn't ethical. Because if someone was right and someone was wrong, someone would have gone in there and said that. But that wasn't the case. It was probably a matter of style, a matter of preference. We don't know what the argument was about, but they were going at it. So much so that Paul, in prison, hears about it. So it must have been tearing the church apart. And I am sure there were factions forming, and Paul was deeply concerned about it. So a letter comes out. Now, this letter would not have been sent to an individual so that an individual could have read it and said to Syntyche and Euodia, Paul has a problem with this. No, no, no. This letter was sent by courier, and everybody would have heard it at the same time in a church gathering. So can you imagine a letter coming from the beloved Paul? This is a man that everybody admires and loves and is so concerned about. And they said, "Today we have a letter from the hand of Paul." So Euodia on that side of the building and Syntyche is on that side. And they're hearing wonderful words. Now, they wouldn't have heard paragraph by paragraph. The minister wouldn't have gotten up and said, well, this week we're going to do one paragraph of Paul's letter, and next week we'll do the other. Oh, no, they would have read the entire letter. And the letter was wonderful. Paul was talking about how much he loved them and how thankful he was for them. And he was telling them to keep the faith. And I could just see these ladies sitting up even taller as he was talking. And then when they heard the words, stand firm in the Lord in this way. And I could see them, yes, I'm standing firm. And then he says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Can you just see them slip under their seats? How mortifying being called out in the middle of church. This would have been about 3 minutes into the letter. If that happened today in an American church, there would be a lawsuit. Do you imagine if I called somebody out and said, you know, you got to behave? But I don't think Paul called them out to mortify them, to embarrass them. He knew how important they were to the work of his church. And he asked the entire congregation to help them, to get them together so that the work could happen. But then he goes on to tell them how. We forget that part of it. We look at that and then we don't see what comes after as part of his admonition. He says, in order to come together, the first thing that we need to do is rejoice. That seems very odd. I would have said, make nice. Fake it till you make it. You know, be nice to each other. Shake hands and make up. But he doesn't say that. He says, rejoice. Because you see, when your life is in an attitude of praise, when you choose each and every day to choose joy instead of despair, to choose joy instead of criticism, then something happens to you. It happened to Paul. Every day when he woke up in that prison, he chose joy. What do we choose today? Do we choose joy? I am deeply concerned when I see the toxicity of our public discourse. We think it's wonderful when somebody puts down someone else. If my political opinions are not shared with you, it's okay for me to talk to somebody and say, well, you're wrong and I'm right. And we despise and cut each other down. And if that's going to change, it's going to need the Church of Jesus Christ to start. We need to start. And we need to start with a shift in our attitudes. Do we each day choose praise? Do we each day wake up in thanksgiving that we have breath in our bodies and we can get our day going and we have the sun shining sometimes and the rain when it's needed? Do we choose to rejoice? Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Let it be our reputation that we are gentle and kind. And I love his prescription for how to train our minds. We have to focus on some important things. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Imagine saying to those two ladies, what do you admire? Syntyche, what do you admire about Euodia? And Euodia, what do you see as worthy of excellence in your sister? And every time we look at each other and we can say, this is a child of God, this is somebody who has excellence and worth, how can we cut each other up? We have such a marvelous opportunity as parents. And I've watched Erin and Brent, this is the third child they brought into this world, and I watch how they handle their children. And I love when they say to their kids, good job. And they're so positive with the children. And this is what we have to do. We start when they're little, and we start to show them to look at somebody else, not as the other, not as someone to be feared or someone to be put down, but as someone worthy of excellence, the child of God. How are we training our children, the next generation, in this community? It starts with our family. It goes into the church, it goes into this community, and then out into the United States and into the world. We have to start with us. We need to change our attitude. We need to discipline ourselves. And we are so thankful that God's Spirit will help us. Because after he says you need to think about these things, he said the God of peace will be with you. God's peace is everywhere. When we are kind and compassionate and loving, God's peace is everywhere when we look for the worth in someone else. God's peace is everywhere when we look at what is commendable and what is excellent. So tomorrow morning, as we rise from our beds, let us have an attitude of rejoicing. Let us have an attitude of praise, and let us go through tomorrow finding those things are commendable, those things that are just, those things that are wonderful. Let us not go to our defaults. I know what my default is. My default is complaint. The only way to get past our defaults is to discipline our minds and to make up our minds this day. We choose joy. We choose purity, we choose excellence, we choose to look at the best in each other. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we have to come here today. I thank you that we're not all the same and we have different opinions. But I thank you that each of us is precious in your sight. Help us to train our minds and hearts to a life of praise and a life that looks at each of your children with love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.